K-Man.
And Kathy Dawes, along with K-Man's Brady Bowman. We're going to be taking a look at the year 2017, and we would appreciate your input as we go along. We do have a top 10 that we based from our website traffic, by the way, this year, kind of a different way to look at it. K-Man's award-winning website from this past year from the Kansas Association of Broadcasters. So we went back and took a look at the numbers of times that people reacted to certain stories, and that kind of helped us formulate the top 10. But 537-1350, if you want to enter into the discussion at any point today, we would love that. Toll free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN, can even email us at news@1350KMAN, and would love to hear from you. So let's go ahead and chat a little bit. The very top story of the year was that fatal shooting in late May, which I think Brady Bowman got called out on. Was that a Sunday night? It almost seems like it was.
It was. I was at a softball game, actually. our most of our NBC crew, our softball game was that Sunday, and we were doing our usual after-game celebrations at Powercat Sports Grill, actually. And then all of a sudden, things start blowing up.
That's the news business. Riley County Police Department officers tend to the scene Sunday night. This was dated back during that late May time frame in Manhattan near the intersection of Marlatt Avenue and Nelson's Landing. Two men were shot Sunday evening in the 2800 block of Nelson's Landing. One was found dead at the scene. The other expected to survive. And, in fact, we did get this very update right around that same time. And when we were talking about the Stephen Harris case.
Stephen Harris, who faces charges of first-degree murder and attempted first-degree murder, had his preliminary hearing set for July 21st at 1 p.m. in the Riley County District Courthouse. Harris is suspected of being the man behind the trigger on the night of May 21st in a shooting at the 2800 block of Nelson's Landing in Manhattan that left 39-year-old Herman Gonzalez Garcia dead at the scene. A second man, Adrian Ortega, was also shot. He was transported in critical condition to Stormont Vale Hospital in Topeka and survived. Harris fled the scene with his fiancée, Cora Brown, also of Manhattan. They were both found and apprehended in Wichita after police there noticed a vehicle connected with the couple at a Motel 6 on East Kellogg. Brown was charged with possession of methamphetamine. More is online at newsradiokman.com. For News Radio KMAN, this is Brady Bowman.
And Dave, you wanted to enter into the discussion here too.
You know, I remember that night well because there was a lot of confusion on this story because the shooting happened on Nelson's Landing.
Right.
And there were a lot of people that thought, including Riley County Police, from what I understand, thought that that report came from Nelson's Landing, the restaurant in Riley. And there are people that were going up there to report the story when the story actually happened on Nelson's Landing.
Right.
The street just off Marlette Avenue. And I remember there was a lot of confusion about that. And it took a while. There were a lot of people in town probably didn't know that there was a Nelson's Landing street because it's not a very busy one. And it's in kind of a remote part of the city.
And a very good point, because I think when I first got noticed, that was my immediate thought. Mm-hmm. And I thought of Mike Tamott, who lives up in that area from our sister station. I believe I contacted him to see if he knew anything. And it was just one of those nights. But Brady figured it out for us.
I'm just glad that we didn't get too deep in our post-softball game celebrations. And I was able to get over there and take care of all that. But, yeah, that was a crazy story, because that was one of those stories that also is kind of ongoing. It wasn't just kind of a one-night thing that Stephen Harris kind of fled, and they had to find him in Wichita. I think it was that whole week we were just having updates almost every day on that.
And he had, I don't know if it was so much an accomplice, but somebody else, another woman.
Cora Brown
was involved in that. And of course, you know, there's still, you know, work going on with that trial, too. So
right. In fact, I covered that arraignment, I believe, November 16th. Here's a little more audio from that time frame, though.
Stephen Harris is the suspect in a deadly mace shooting in the 2800 block of Nelson's Landing in Manhattan that resulted in the death of 39-year-old German Gonzalez Garcia. Also shot during the incident, but surviving, was Adrian Ortega. Harris was represented by public defense attorney Gary West during the Monday court appearance. West told Judge Merrill Wilson he had not had time to have an expert review the ballistics results as they came in just before the October 13th preliminary hearing. As a result, West requested a 30-day continuance. Judge Wilson continued the arraignment to November 27th after Harris agreed to a waiver of his rights to a speedy trial. For News Radio KMAN, I'm Jennifer Edgar.
And our thanks to Jen Edgar, one of our newer recruits for our news team this year too, Brady, and did a fine job on that. And as we mentioned, that arraignment was November 16th of Stephen Harris. And as previously announced, he'd been scheduled for a November 27th arraignment, but attorneys appeared in Riley County Court and requested the arraignment be moved up and heard that day. He has since entered a not guilty plea. The jury's been set for 5 days to begin March 26th of next year in front of Judge Merle Wilson. And you'll have the honor of covering that, Brady.
So. I will. You know, it's not surprising that that was our most read story on our website this mm-hmm. year. When, you know, you get towards the end of the year and we always kind of think about these things. What are we going to do for the end of the year? And you go and look at the stats and kind of wonder before you look what it's going to be. I wasn't surprised to see that be our most looked at story.
And as Barry Wilkerson told me yesterday, the Riley County attorney, he can't say a whole lot about this case yet since it's in the process. It'll probably be one of your year-enders next year once it gets resolved. Well, moving along, we've only gone through one of the 10 stories and we're already 10 minutes into the program. Racial graffiti on the vehicle just found to be the vehicle's owner November 6th. That happened, of course, near the K-State campus. And that, Dontarius Williams involved in that particular case. And I know you were pretty active in covering that one, too. That was a tough one.
That was a fun week.
Number two on our list of hits on our website.
That was
exactly. In fact, we'll go ahead and play a package just to refresh all of our memories here that I believe Brady did.
At approximately 7:25 a.m. Wednesday, the RCPD received a report of a vehicle that had been defaced with graffiti in the 2200 block of Claflin Road in Manhattan near the K-State campus. Crime occurred sometime between 1:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. Wednesday morning. Earlier reports indicated the victim to be a black K-State student. The victim's Facebook page listed KSU as a school. However, an advisor to the K-State Black Student Union said during an emergency BSU meeting at the KSU Student Union Wednesday night, there is no record of the victim being enrolled. Still, K-State BSU President Darrell Reese said the incident was not lessened for the nearly 300 people in attendance at the meeting. He added, no matter the circumstances, such communication with students, faculty, and community members is important.
Oh, of course. Hearing this dialogue always helps. That was a big proponent of why we wanted to have this dialogue, is to help move forward in a positive direction, but also give students a chance to state how they feel.
Provost and Senior Vice President of K-State, April Mason, was one of several KSU officials at the meeting. She said it was important for her to be supportive.
I am outraged at some of the incidents that have happened. It does not show Kansas State University. It is not Kansas State University. And we want to find ways of acting against these things that are happening and be showing that there is a community of Kansas State of inclusiveness. I want to be a part of that.
More on the story is online at newsradiokman.com. The RCPD is asking anyone with information on this crime to contact Riley County Police Department at 75-537-2112 or Crime Stoppers at 75-539-7777. For News Radio KMAN, this is Brady Bowman.
And I'm told we have a phone call. Let's go ahead and take a call, and you'd like to enter into the discussion today on top stories for 2017. Go ahead, please.
Well, I wish we'd have started with number 10 and worked our way up to number 1, but I can tell you the number 1 story I've run into is Kathy Dawes retiring. Out here on the street, you don't realize how many people listen to In Focus. And once in a while, you hear them talking. But here, since you've announced retirement, people that I didn't even know listen to In Focus are talking about the surprise of Kathy Dawes retiring. That's the number 1 story of the year.
We'll get into that tomorrow, right, Brady and Dave? But I appreciate that. Yeah, they're going to roast me a little tomorrow, I think. But I'll get my chance to do that tomorrow. Today we're focusing
roast
on Manhattan. Well, I have
who
a funny feeling.
Roast?
We'll see. I don't trust you guys.
You've been a real blessing to the community. You're the number 1 story.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, we have several more reports. We can't possibly get through them all. But, Brady, I mean, as you said, you were constantly updating, and this story really evolved. I mean, it was incredible the way it did.
It was kind of a peak 2017 sort of story in so many ways, because it got so big because of the social media, how viral it went on social media, especially initially when not a lot was known at the beginning, and a lot of people kind of ran away with some ideas, and it was good to stay on top of that. I thought all of us here at KMAN did our due diligence in making sure we were reporting the facts on that and letting you know what we knew at the time, what people were telling us at the time. And, you know, that's one of those things I think we're going to look back. And I think overall, I think the community in K-State ended up having a very positive response to a very negative thing. And it could have went a totally different way as far as that response, as we saw in Columbia, Missouri, when they had racial tensions a couple years ago, and that really ballooned, and they had a really negative reaction to that. I thought we had a very positive reaction to that in the community.
In fact, we're going to play just an excerpt from that KS Unite event that you covered. And even though they had found out that Dontarius Williams of Manhattan had been involved in his own vehicle destruction, I guess you could say, they did go ahead and have this event. Very moving event, from what I understand. We'll play just an excerpt, and then we're probably about due for a break. But let's just hear a little bit more from Brady. You were a busy guy this year, Brady.
K-State made a call for students, faculty, and community members to gather at Anderson Hall in the name of unity Tuesday afternoon, and it was answered. Thousands filled the lawn in front of Anderson Hall on the campus of Kansas State University following a unity walk that began at 1 p.m. K-State Black Student Union President Daryl Reese addressed the crowd along with University President Richard Myers. Last week, KSU said classes would be canceled specifically for the event. That announcement from KSU came a day after the Riley County Police Department announced 21-year-old Dontarius Williams confessed he defaced his own car with racist graffiti at his apartment near campus. Myers said K-State has the opportunity to respond to racial tension in a positive way and that social media is a powerful tool that must be used responsibly. He also acknowledged failings at the national level.
Our values are under attack. The national tone, the lack of civility, the lack of clarity around our national values is affecting our campus and community.
Taj Brimmer, who is set to graduate in December, was the vice president of the K-State Black Student Union last year. After the event's conclusion, she said KSU made important steps.
Yeah, Nate Englund definitely may be a step towards the healing process. I think this is a step, positively.
Full audio from Myers and Reese, along with photos of the event, can be found online at newsradiokman.com.
And again, Brady Bowman, and we're going to go ahead and go to a break. I mean, we have comments from Jack Ayers, the student body president, President Richard Myers at Kansas State University, but we'll move along because we're only on number two for the year of 2017. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN News is brought to you by ESB Financial. They're